Aynel, do you know where the best feeling in the world is?
Ooh, is it, you know, when you finally beat a boss after messing up loads of times?
I mean, that's a good one.
Oh, actually, you know when you unlock a new skin in a game without having to buy it?
Yeah, solid.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, actually, what about when you blue shell someone last second and then you win the race?
I mean, they are all good options.
Well, it's not one of them.
It's not one of them. They're good options, but I think it's when you've got your new game loaded up, you are ready to go, you're getting locked in, but you've got a chocolatey friend.
Hey, now we're talking,
absolutely,
bro.
They are there, ready to give you a little power up, a little energy boost before you get going.
Especially if it's a lovely milk chocolate slab between two crisp biscuits.
You know the one, Aynel. It makes the world's most satisfying snap when you bite into it. It's got to be a pick-upper.
Pick-up. Oh, yeah. Oh, are you going for the OG pickup? You know the one with the blue box?
Yeah, this blue box.
That blue box?
Yeah, this is really good. I mean, I'm also dabbling with the salted caramel as well.
Okay.
There are loads of different flavours out there. Whichever one you go for, there is no better snack for when you're getting ready to get into a big gameplay session, about to pick up your controller and get into it.
Yeah, and they're super easy to eat as well. No chocolatey fingers over the controllers. Nuh-uh. And that's thanks to the two crisp biscuits hugging the chocolatey slab.
Nobody wants chocolate marks on their controllers, do they? Absolutely not. You can find out more by just searching for Pick Up on your phone.
Pick Up and Go.
Well, here we go then. Time to hit play on the latest episode of Press X. To continue, this is the gaming podcast that has got you covered. Maybe you're in the car or you're on public transport. Perhaps you're heading out for a stroll. You're maybe doing some chores around the house or you're playing games right now. And we are the friend that is providing the conversation while you play. Well, whatever you're doing, we are glad to have you right here as an Exy Beast and a member of the Continue Club. I'm Stefan Powell, and with me after a couple of weeks away, he's back, everybody. It's the actor and streamer. Yay! Now, be honest, Aynel, actor and streamer Aynel Tomlinson, just to finish off that sentence. Be honest, Aynel, did you miss me?
Do you know what? I did, you know.
Yeah,
I was like, I didn't have any like Welsh sultry tones in my ears. Like, I was like, I love your accent. I love your voice. It's smooth. It's calming. Yeah. Especially when I listen to it in the car. And I'm stuck in traffic and stuff. It's nice. Oh. It's like, yeah. And then I pipe up and I'm like, oh.
Well, look, it's wicked to have you back. And how is it all going? I mean, people don't realize. I know it's like a legit actor. It was on like set and being busy and things. It's I mean, obviously you can't say what you're doing at the moment. But how has it been?
It's been kicking my ass a bit, but like, it's been some intense shoot days. Like my call times are like 5:15 in the morning, and it's like like having to like roll out of bed at like stupid o'clock. I'm waking up and it's still yesterday.
Yeah,
that's not how it should work.
I love that. When I do breakfast radio, sometimes I'm on the way into the studio because breakfast shows tend to start at like 6 in the morning, whatever. You're on the way into the studio.
How do it?
Well, I find really tricky because you're going into studio and sometimes students are still on their nights out and you're like, you're still having fun and I'm on the way to work. How is that fair?
I know. Well, I don't know how people do it. Some people, they turn up to clubs at like 6 in the morning.
Oh, I know.
There's 24-hour clubs. I'm like,
no,
whoa.
Thank you. My wife, she's a breakfast news reader. She's been doing it every day for 8 years. I'm like,
is it?
Whoosh. Intense.
Hey, congrats. That's an achievement.
She's still going. She's still doing it. Fair play.
That's an achievement. She deserves a trophy.
Well, welcome back, Aynel. It's lovely to have you here in the Continue
Club. Thank
you
very much.
It is full and complete again. Now, Press X is proudly sponsored by Pickup. Some people say it's a chocolate biscuit bar, and others say it's a biscuit with chocolate, or a chocolate with biscuits, maybe. We say it doesn't matter because it tastes fantastic and it helps you release tension to make the most of those unpredictable moments that gaming throws at you. So we are chuffed to be working with Pickup.
Yeah, big up Pickup. It's got that chocolate and it's got that biscuity crunch. Mm.
Now, let's get straight into some unpopular opinions now that you're here again, Aynel. This has been a theme that keeps coming up a lot on the unpopular opinions. This is from Theonor, who says, review scores have got to be re-evaluated because the idea is 1 is bad, 5 is average, and 10 is perfect, which would make most 7 out of 10 games really a 5. Because 7 out of 10 games usually given to games that are average is what Fino's saying, I think. And then this led to a conversation in the Discord. Woogly's adding, scores are pretty much meaningless. if you're talking about a proper professional video or written review, you really need to listen to the person's views and see if they match what you want out of a game. Which is why we don't give scores really on ours, Einel, because I think it can be reductive. But I can also understand why you need scores, because I think sometimes it's a shorthand. But I see Fiona's point in terms of, well, if the shorthand's wrong, because five should be average, whereas we're giving sevens to average games.
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's because the scale was just broken from the beginning. The scale was broken from the beginning. I remember, like, back in the days, like the early, like, gaming magazines and stuff, and, like, whenever there was, like a huge tentpole game, it would always get, like, 90s and 100s and stuff like that. And because it was so skewed that in that end of the category, like a seven felt like a bad game, yeah, because there were so many 90 games and 95s and 96s. I think most of the Marios used to be like 95 plus. And so it's like, I think it's messed up. So I prefer like publications that like ours, that don't kind of, that don't give the scores out, but you have to kind of listen, or you have to read, like to what the reviewer's opinions, yeah, and stuff like that. And like, I know there's like magazines still out there that do it, like Edge and things like that. That just don't bother.
Yeah. I think you've sort of, if you're going to spend 70 quid on a game, then you probably need to, you know, it deserves 10 minutes of your time to read a review, right? Or to dig into, yeah, it a little bit.
And I like that. I'm harking back to the old.
We're making it sound old again.
But I used to pore over like review articles like when I was younger, because that was the only bit of information you would get, because we didn't have the internet. If you wanted to know about how good a game was, you had to just sit down, look at the screenshots, and read what the reviewer had to say. Yeah. And like from page to page, back to back. And so I used to love doing that.
And you used to get to know the reviewers, didn't you? And sort of, oh, they tend to like the games I like.
Yeah, they like sports games.
Absolutely. Ev's added an interesting question here, sort of stirring the pot a little bit maybe. Even if it came out as unplayable, would anyone be brave enough to give GTA 6 a bad review? I still think there are some... there are plenty out there. I mean, look at Cyberpunk. That was sort of, people were expecting that to be something, and the early reviews were one thing. And then when people realised, actually, there's something not quite right here, then the review was quickly turned. So I do think there are people out there brave enough to write that stuff.
Yeah, they do. I harken back to, you remember, was it either Games Master or Bad Influence? They used to have like a boy's score and a girl's score. Oh, and it was quite interesting to see the difference in terms of like how people kind of like engage with various games. Yeah,
I wonder, like, it's you've got to review games, you've got to use numbers, I get it. I think it's just you've got to have a sort of sense of context and use your own brain a little bit to be like, okay,
yes,
that's what they've said, but I can take this and this. Oh, it's only in fact, the game I'm reviewing later on, a little tease, I'm reviewing the latest college football games, like a variant of Madden, basically. And that's sort of got sevens in places, which is perfect, actually, for this topic. But there are some of those reviews will say that, but this particular bit of the game is fantastic. So you need to take the bits that you like, because that's those elements is why I love the game. So actually, it might have a seven overall, but the thing I like is the thing that does really well. So thank you very much. I'm very happy. So I think it, unfortunately, you can't just take a number at its face value. I think you're right there, Fiona. And this one from Scotty, for all the enthusiasts out there who love platinuming games, we know we've got a lot of them in the Discord. Scotty says, can you really say you've got the platinum for a game if you save scum your way to the multiple endings without having to replay the whole thing two or three times?
Shots fired, Scotty. There's a couple games out there where you just get to the final boss, change the difficulty, and then you get the different ending and stuff. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, well, look, as long as they can sleep at night, Scotty, that's the main thing, right? You know you've done it properly.
I won't be able to sleep at night. That's why I ain't got no platinum trophy.
Yeah, this is why we don't get involved in any of this platinuming nonsense. Thank you very much. But great fighting talk. Great unpopular opinion there, Scotty. And look, if you're a person that does that, if you save scum your way to the platinum trophies and don't replay the game two or three times, then feel free to stick up for yourselves. You know what to do. Find us in the Discord. Find us on social media and get involved in the conversation.
Get involved. Let us know.
Tell Scotty he's wrong.
That is quite feisty, though. That is quite feisty.
Spicy stuff.
And then blag about the achievement.
Ooh, Can you be blagging if you save Scumjoy to the ending? Oh, I've got my special mug today. I know.
Let's
see if this works. Let's see if this is this hot enough.
Clink it.
Is this hot enough? Right. What's going to happen is if this tea is still hot enough.
Oh, look at that decanter.
Which, I know, it's good, isn't it? It's nice, isn't it? Get yourselves one of these. Get yourselves the loose leaf. I don't know if this is hot enough, but when it's hot enough, I don't think it is. The tea is too cold. Next week.
Does it change?
It changes. So I tell you what, I'll leave as a surprise. What do you think it is? What do you think it changes to?
I want to say like a Dark Souls thing.
Okay, you're saying Dark Souls. Well, I'll tell you what, for the next one, I'll make sure the tea's hot enough so you can see it. Social media, this is a rubbish clip. Owen, but you never know, it might work. Producer Owen. What do you think this mug changes to? My wife hates it. She sticks in the back of the cupboard and doesn't let me get it out, but she's not here today, so I can get it out.
Wait. Give us a clue. Give us a small clue.
We've talked about it on the show.
Oh, well, that could be anything.
Yeah, we've talked about it quite a lot on the show, I'd say.
We've been doing this podcast for 5 years.
Well, there we are. Get your guesses in. Right, okay. More trivia, right? But let's get stuck into some actual trivia, shall we? So before we get going this week, massive shout out to Yes Andy Noor, who's been in touch in the Discord. And he says this. It always struck me that Stefan caveats the quiz every week with the fact that Einel and him have attempted many more questions than everyone else. Because it's fact, Andy. Mm. So I've made a spreadsheet. This is amazing, Andy. I'm so chuffed and grateful you've done this. This is so cool. I've made a spreadsheet, says Andy. I've added an adjuster column that applies a logarithmic multiplier to each guest's percentage success rate to take into account the number of questions attempted relative to the person with the highest attempts, currently Stefan. Do with that what you will. Well, Andy, so basically he's done some clever maths on a spreadsheet that figures out, doesn't matter how many questions you've answered or been asked, what your percentage is. And Andy, that is amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to figure that out. That is so cool.
That is awesome, man.
Some people are so brilliant.
What is that called? Logarithmic?
Well, I might have said it wrong, to be fair. He's added a logarithmic multiplier.
Logarithmic multiplier.
I mean, it's clever stuff. You should have been in that Spreadsheets World Championship the other day, Andy. Does that count as gaming? That's a conversation for another time. Andy, we're thrilled that you took the time to do that. We're really pleased.
Thank you for that.
Now, producer David is getting his head round it a little bit, so...
It needs instructions.
So he's spending a bit of time with the logarithmic multiplier to figure it out. So soon we will be applying that so that I can stop mourning about the fact that I've had to answer more questions.
Can we just call it that from now on? Yeah. Let's check the logarithmic multiplier to see who's in the top form this week.
Great.
Wants to be a continuer.
Now, the question this week, of course, we'll bring you the answer at the end. When a hoop of metal from an explosion rolls slowly across the screen at the end of a 2007 video game, developers hoped it would become a meme. They planned for Hoopy the Hoop to be its name, but a different, very well-known games meme was created by that title instead. What was the game? And for a bonus point, what was the meme? So they wanted, developers wanted a hoop of metal from an explosion rolling across the screen of a 2007 video game to be a meme. Instead, a different meme was born from that game. So what was the game and what was the meme? Don't know.
Oh, 2007. That was the 360 PS3 era.
Yeah.
Don't know. Yeah, that's a tricky one, man. I want to say Oblivion was out way more than then.
Bioshock.
Oh, the metal.
Maybe something like a Bioshock. There's a big explosions in that.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of Halo time, isn't it? So, but Halo, took itself quite seriously, didn't it? And I don't think this is something that.
It did, but then there was. I'm gonna go with Halo 3. Now that you mentioned Halo, I'm thinking.
Well, we've got some time. It's not. Yeah, it's not like. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, you're talking like prime Assassin's Creed, Halo, Gears of War, God of War, the early God of Wars. Anyway, we'll have a thing. We'll come back with the answer at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, come back.
Currently, me and Ainella are really close. I mean, fantastic question, whoever that was. 27.3% you are currently. This is pre-logarithmic multiplier.
Oh, no, I was going to say.
I am at 26.3%. And Benedict Townsend is currently way out ahead with 100% of his, with a 2-from-2 record. So well done to you, Benedict. Well, obviously, as ever, we will bring you the answer coming up at the end of the show. Right, we've had a PlayStation State of Play, Ainel.
Yes.
We've got stuff to talk about. Lots of exciting headlines. I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about the God of War controllers, because I do like mm-hmm. I do like a jazzy controller. One of my favourite controllers, actually, was one they did for PUBG on the Xbox, the last Xbox. Anyway,
I don't remember that one. I digress.
If we're being honest, the main headline, of course, was Wolverine. What did you think? We've seen footage from Wolverine. We know it's coming out now in the fall, which is an American term for back end of 2026. It's very violent. It's very bloody.
Yes.
What did you make of it?
Do you know what? Don't take this the wrong way. It looks how I expected it to look from Insomniac. Because Insomniac have a look to their kind of games, especially with the Spider-Man ones. And I figured it would look just like that, as if it's from the same world, and it kind of does, especially with kind of like the animation direct and like the cutscene direction in terms of like the placement and the dynamism of the cameras. It looks fantastic. It's the sort of game that I'll be happy to play. It's the only one thing is, I'm not sure how the game is going to play, not in terms of like the action, but in terms of Spider-Man was like an open world action adventure kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Wolverine can't get around like Spider-Man can. And so I feel like it's going to be a lot more enclosed and the environment's going to be a lot smaller. And I'm going to wonder how Insomniac are going to deal with that and how players are going to kind of react to that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be more of a brawler, isn't it, I suppose, as a title. Although interesting, there's a couple of nods.
No platforming, just punching.
Yeah, just punching. But I thought a couple of nods that they did. I think that, so Insomniac, in case you don't know, they're the games company that made the Spider-Man games, the Miles Morales and the Spider-Man titles did so well on PlayStation. And they've obviously got to deal with Marvel. Marvel trust them to make their properties. And it does, you can tell, I think, even if you didn't know when you looked at it, it's very similar to and I guess they're going for like a hybrid between that Spider-Man and the Batman Arkham games, which I'm getting a bit
of
a vibe.
Makes sense. It's pretty much. I feel like it's the same engine.
Yeah, in terms of, I feel like Batman's abilities, obviously they're different, but in terms of movement, are quite similar to Wolverine. He can't fly, but he sort of can. He can soar. Exactly. He can fall with style, to quote Buzz Lightyear. Yeah. Right? Technically to quote Woody, and it doesn't matter. But you know, he can climb up buildings, like I think Wolverine will be able to do using his claws. But I do think the couple of nods, they nodded a lot to him sort of climbing and sliding down buildings using his claws. So I think there will be a degree of traversal using that. And also the fact that he was on a motorbike a few times makes me think that you will be using vehicles to get around a little bit.
I'm hoping. Do you remember Crackdown, that game?
Yeah, we've talked about it. Bizarrely, we've talked about it before.
Listen, I hope it plays similar to that in like the traversal, in terms of like you can just like do super jumps and then you can just like soar through the air, stuff like that. Grab onto buildings, like just race up buildings with his claws. Yeah. Like that would be nice, but I don't know. I feel like it's going to be smaller in that kind of scope.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we don't know, but I think what's interesting is what we can tell as well is that it's clearly going for a mature audience. Spider-Man was a game that could be played by everyone pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't wanting your kids to be playing this, you know. Those, you know, it's gruesome. It's what the character, you know, it's what fans would have wanted for the character, I suppose. But I suppose, and then they are then saying this is a game for a very particular audience.
But I think that's the thing, though. Like, they're definitely going for a particular audience, but that immediately says to me it's not going to sell as well as Spider-Man is, and so I don't know how they're going to kind of deal with that, especially PlayStation at the moment. They have very few like first party games coming out, and then for this one to be like, yes, good, but it's not as good as Spider-Man, and well, it's It's hard. Any superhero game is not going to be as popular as Spider-Man. He's like the most popular like superhero there is. But like in terms of Wolverine, I don't know, man. Like I'm looking forward to it, but like it's obviously it's going to encourage a lot of the younger the crowd and the younger audience to want to play it because it's a Marvel property.
Yeah, of course.
But the violence levels, that's got to be an 18 plus.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, it's great if you're us. But you know, if you're like 14, 15 and into it, and your parents are like, oh, I don't know about this, you know, then that's going to be, it's going to be loads of tricky conversations going on about that. For me, I think it will sit. My guess is, yeah, Spider-Man is obviously sort of the more successful of the superhero characters that have made it. Whereas we've had a lot of sort of failures, I guess you could say, in terms of their market and their critical success with the Avengers and Suicide Squad being not so great. My guess is this is going to sit at the sort of Batman Arkham level. Super, really great game. Critics love it, but because of the limitations of what it is, won't be able to sell as many games. But for me, I don't care. I love Wolverine. I've never been a superhero guy, really, but I love the X-Men. And so this is an intellectual property that is bang up my street. The gameplay looks perfect, ideal, just what I like. I think it's going to be great. I'm excited. This and Bond, I think are going to be fantastic.
I hope they tease some other mutants to be in there, like X-Men mutants that we recognize. It would be like, Beast or something
to fight alongside you.
Yes.
Because we saw Mystique in there. I think she's such a cool character from the X-Men universe. So that's a great baddie. But yeah, it would be fun if Gambit turns up for one mission.
Just for a mission.
Just for one mission. And then goes again.
Because you had like companions in like Spider-Man 2. And like, so they teased that. And so it's like, that technology is there within the engine for them to do that. So it's like, it would be nice. Just a couple I want.
So what did you make of Wolverine? Are you excited about it? Do you think it's going to do well? Did you want to see something different? Let us know. Get involved in the comments. Find us on social media, PressXPod on TikTok and Blue Sky, and PressX Podcast on Instagram. The link to the Discord is in the thingamajig below. So click that and get involved in the conversation. What did you think of Wolverine? I'm excited. Aynel's excited. What did you think? Let us know.
Oh, before we move on, Steph, the State of Play also teased the game we were talking about a few weeks ago. The Deus Ex remaster.
It did. And you've been wanting this for some time. Deus Ex changed the game when it comes to like stealth games.
we were literally just chatting about it when Kenzie was on. And then the next, like a couple weeks later, they announced the remaster.
Yeah. Daniel Cooper, stealth game fanatic, will be very excited.
He's gonna love it
for that, of course. If you know what we're talking about, go back and listen to a few episodes and listen for the stealth games conversation, right? You'll get it. A couple of other things it mentioned: Flight Simulator coming to the PlayStation 5. I just think it's more examples of the sort of separation, the division of Xbox, PlayStation becoming.
I don't know what's happening with Xbox, man, and Microsoft. They're just giving everything away now. Just like, yeah, take them all. There's nothing left. There's nothing exclusive left.
No. And I don't know. I think the only thing that they've... Does Game Pass become the thing that's going to save Xbox?
I don't think it will. Like, everybody I know who loves Game Pass no longer has it. Like, just because it's just too pricey.
Mm.
And, like, they like it. They think it's a great deal in terms of being able to play games. It's just... It's the most expensive subscription out of all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But then I suppose it's tough because people say, okay, well, it's either that or you spend 70 quid for every game you buy. So in a really interesting period, I think in the next couple of years, we'll figure out what the model is for companies to be able to make enough games to keep people happy and make enough money without being extortionate. There's going to be we're in a situation where like the industry is sort of balancing out, because definitely people feel like there aren't as many games coming as there used to be at a sort of AAA sort of level.
AAA level, yeah.
And that's probably because it takes so long to make and big studios and big, players in the game like Xbox and Microsoft and Sony, whatever, are only going for bankers now. They're not risking another Concorde. They're not risking, you know, big losses. And so we're in this sort of really weird middle ground, and it means we end up getting... such a quintessentially Microsoft title as Flight Simulator going on the PS5. So strange. I don't know how you feel. Maybe you, any Xbox fanatics out there are annoyed, frustrated, or maybe we're all above that now, actually. We're all very mature, and this is how games are going.
The thing is, though, I would be frustrated if I picked up on Xbox, because the PlayStation is now the definitive version, because they're getting a PSVR like expansion to it.
I didn't think about, I didn't think about that. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
And it's like, oh, that's the best version.
Yeah, if you're playing Flight Simulator, then you're probably into VR. I think there's a big Venn diagram there, I think.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I know, I hadn't thought about that, but that is good. That's a good point. We also got gameplay for a title called Saros, which is Housemark, which is a Finnish developer. They made the game Returnal. What did you make of the trailer? That's very intriguing. I think it's going to be another bullet hell Returnal-like, essentially, isn't it?
Looked like more of the same to me, and I love that. I love that. Returnal was absolutely incredible. Yeah. One of my favorite like PS5 games that came out in that kind of launch period. And like I want excuses to go back. And like this is just an even better excuse, because like Saros is a brand new game. Raoul Cooley as the lead. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm down for this. It looks just like how I want the sequel for that game to be.
Yeah, Raoul Cooley is sort of a big advocate for gaming, also a very successful actor in his own right in Netflix shows and stuff.
Mm.
So he's fronting that and not just providing the voice as well, but providing the likeness. And so they're really leaning into his popularity in the gaming space, aren't they? Which is interesting.
That's good, because he's a fantastic actor. He's been in so many video games in the past, but like Gears 5 and stuff like that. But like, he's a fantastic actor, like great choice for a lead. It's about time he leads a video game, and I think he'll do a fantastic job on this one.
And what I love about Housemark is that they took, you know, essentially games that used to look, you know, it used to be the two-down version. You were a spaceship at the bottom, and they were like, bullets going everywhere. You're diving on. But they do that in a 3D way that is so bright and tense and exciting. And it's like, you know what? It worked so well with Returnal. We don't know what the gameplay is going to be, this is going to be like. But also, I like the fact that they're just clearly taking what's worked and just applying it in a slightly different setting. And just going, you know what, this is going to be great and cool. Not overthinking
that's
it.
That's all we want.
This is
that's
the game you liked, want. And we're going to give you more of what you like. Thank you very much. We're just a new flavour. Great, cool.
Yes, please.
Well done, you. So look, let us know what you thought of the state of play. Were you excited? Were you disappointed? Some people wanted more, as ever. Let us know. Get in the comments. Get in the Discord. Let's have a conversation about the state of play, and we will reflect it here on the podcast soon. Following on from some more Sony stuff, I suppose, to follow on from that. Have you seen this franchise reward system that they've announced?
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
It's odd, isn't it? It's odd. So if you've missed it, basically it's called the Franchise Rewards Program, which basically lets players access exclusive merch linked to the unlocked in-game trophies they have, which is probably going to lead Scott from earlier on to more saves coming. I'm going to be honest with you. So you're not going to like this, Scott. I'll tell you that for free. And basically, so yeah, if you've unlocked in-game trophies, it's going to give you access to real-world merch. So they're starting off with Ghost of Tsushima. So if you've got a trophy like the Mononoware trophy or the Living Legend trophy, then you can buy limited edition merch at the rewards store. A commemorative pin and a shirt with an exclusive design in this example.
Yeah, strange, because like PlayStation have like tried like various things over the years. I think the last one was like PlayStation Stars or something like that with the points. Then you can unlock like in the app, you can unlock like little 3D like trophies and trinkets for playing various games.
Yeah.
And this feels like they've taken that idea and then they've kind of gone beyond to start selling merch with it. So it's like, it's still weird though.
Yeah,
still find it weird.
I think it's odd. Well, I can't make my mind up from it. Sometimes, like, you know what? This is offering something cool, different, and unique to fans, to mega fans of a specific thing. Like, for example, I was in the 0.01% of top listeners to Fred again on Spotify, right, last year.
Nice.
If I had access to it,
big up Fred again,
whose music's amazing, in my opinion. Actual Life 2, his second album, is the best one. Anyway, that's beside the point. If I had access to a special merch shop because I'd listened to it more than the vast majority of everybody else, I would have thought that was quite cool. But then, is it also gatekeeping that franchise from everybody. And so therefore alienating the vast majority of people who, like us, who have complained about the length of games and not being able to have time to invest in games. It's locking me out of cool shit. And is that a good or a bad marketing strategy? I can't make my mind up.
I think it'd be better marketing strategy if it gave you discounts on like buying stuff in the Sony store.
Okay.
I remember there was like a weird 3DS game that Nintendo did like ages ago called Rusty's Baseball, something like that, where you played trial versions of these like mini games, and then if you wanted to unlock the full version, you could buy it. But if you did really well in the game, you could ask Rusty, I want to play this price. And he's like, yeah, that's a fair price. And then you paid that price. And so, like rewarding you for like playing more and bartering and stuff. And I would appreciate if it was more like, if you did really well and you unlock certain trophies, that would give you a discount. Like the limited edition stuff is nice, but I'd rather a discount in the store and then let me buy what I want
to
buy.
I get what they're trying to do. But also, I wonder. I mean, also, I don't think enough people are going to notice that it becomes a problem. But I wonder. Mm. I don't know if this will quite do what they think. What do you guys think? I mean, we know Scott's not going to like it. Clearly,
definitely not.
but you know, for those of you that do go platinum and trophy hunting, maybe this is cool and you're into it, and maybe this is a way of rebalancing. Because I know some people are frustrated that there is a lean to more, you know, a lot more. Sort of making features that appeal to more casual players. Actually, you need to course correct a little bit and also offer something for people that are really invested. So maybe, maybe this is cool. So let us.
Here it is. It was called Rusty's Real Deal Baseball.
I mean, sounds amazing. House
haggling 3DS game. This is real money, though, you're handling.
This is fantastic. Real money. I never heard of this. This is great. I'm going to check this out as soon as we're finished here. This is great. Well, look, talking of haggling, our next sort of topic that's come up this week is we're back on the microtransactions bandwagon because a new report's come out again about microtransactions. And I know some people might be thinking, yawn, talk about microtransactions again, but there's such a pivotal sort of core part of the gaming experience at the moment that we have to talk about it, I think, from time to time. And this new report has come out that said that roughly 58% of all PC gaming revenue for 2024 came from microtransactions. That's more than half of the money that games are making come from in-game purchases and microtransactions. Three games leading the way, Black Ops 6, Roblox and Fortnite. No surprise there, really. The report, which comes from Newzoo, which is a company that does a lot of this reporting and investigations, suggests that $24 billion, $24.4 billion to be exact, was made on PC from microtransactions alone in 2024. Damn. That is a lot of money, basically, Einel, despite a lot of people being frustrated by microtransactions. They're here to stay, aren't they?
Oh, definitely here to stay. Like, I remember, like, similarly, like seeing like a PlayStation investor thing, and it's like, yeah, like most of their money comes from like free to play games where people like are buying like unlocks, DLC, like microtransactional stuff, and it's like very little of their the money that they make is from like hardware and things like that. And it's like, oh wow, that's like really. I was like, things have definitely changed from like what, just literally 15 years ago when, well, 20 years ago when we were playing like the Xbox 360 generation when it first came and introduced all that stuff. Like, I remember everybody like making noise about the horse armor and how much it costs. Like, what? You have to buy horse armor now? Everyone's buying everything. But like, when it comes to like DLC, me personally, I like to kind of, my thing, especially with free to play games, if I feel as if I've got enough out of a game, I'm happy to put down a little bit of money to kind of buy a little microtransaction here and there to help developers. If I've put like 50 hours into a game and I've not paid a penny, I'll happily put in a fiver to like buy like a costume and thing. That's like my own personal.
Yeah, I don't mind spending a little bit here and there. I think especially in games that I've invested in, because you know we're talking about Game Pass earlier and like trying to figure out how games are going to pay for themselves in the years to come. I think when it's done appropriately, I think it's fine as long as you know what you're getting yourself in for. There's still those examples out there, I think, of some games that just go a bit OTT with how they sell it. I think it's especially problematic in mobile games like we've talked about before. But look, how do you guys feel about about microtransactions at the moment? And do you, you know, have all of us got to think differently about how we budget our gaming spend? You know, that's less, maybe we'll spend 70 quid on microtransactions instead of buying the latest AAA title. And you've got to
think, the thing that scares me the most is, especially the kids like growing up now, is like, I remember like my niece and nephew like asking for Minecraft stuff when they were younger, and then it was Fortnite bucks, and then so like they're used to all of that micro stuff, like microtransactional stuff now, and it feels like a slippery slope with a lot of it.
Yeah, I wonder if it just needs to be. I think what would be good is if they were uniform. You can't put rules on it, can you? Just the amount of stuff you can create in a game. I don't know. It doesn't feel quite right yet. How it's, because it's so different out there. But then, I don't know, maybe...
That's the thing, they're never going to put that in place, and also, they make most of their money
as the stats say, and this doesn't even include... Yeah. This is just PC games, it doesn't even include mobile games, it doesn't even include console games.
Doesn't even include it.
And if you do it properly, there's nothing wrong with it. I've spent some money on Ultimate Team in the past, or I've spent some money on COD skins in the past, mm-hmm. And I will again. I think you've just got to be disciplined with yourself now. This is the world we live in. Every product you get that's digital will have a form of ups. Oh, do you want, this is a cool version, but do you want the next tier? You can get the next tier if you want. Yeah. Just spend a little bit more cash.
It's tricky though. It's tricky, especially with people with like addictive personalities and stuff. It's really hard for them to kind of navigate these things, because there's no stopping point. Like, the only stopping point is you saying stop, or you running out of money.
Yeah, exactly.
game's never going to say, hey, do you want to hold it down a little
bit? I did so many stories about microtransactions. I'm going to see if I can dig one of them out that I did before when I was at the BBC.
Oh, yeah. Come on, showcase it.
It was a while ago. It was when the rules were about to change. And I can't remember now. The rules were about to change anyway, and it was just like it was. And I think the difficulty is if you have you might not realize you've got a problem until all of a sudden you're $3,000-$4,000 into a game.
Yeah.
And so I just think that maybe we've got to be mindful that when you start playing a game, that like we just think about.
Well, that's what I mean. Certain people just can't play certain types of games because they know like they're going to get addicted to them, especially games that don't have ends, especially a lot of the live service games where there's no ending. Like a lot of people can kind of get addicted to those and monetarily like spend a lot of money. Like, because they, not that they feel that they have to, just because they have that urge to spend that money to kind of gain the new unlocks, gain the new features. Not in a predatory way, but I feel like a lot of these game companies, they don't do enough to kind of alleviate that sort of stuff. It would be nice to, you know, like when you're playing like a Nintendo game for too long and then it says, hey, why don't you take a rest for a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, no, but
it would be nice, I think you should. If like a pop-up comes up, it's like, hey, you bought quite a few things in a row. Do you want to hold it down for today? Come back tomorrow. See if you feel like you still want it.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think you're right. I think you've got to really think about how much you're willing to spend on these things. I can remember. I can't dig out the exact story now, but it was really. I can remember interviewing, really moving interview with a guy who ended up spending like $8,000 on a mobile game, and it just happened. It just happened so quick. And then what he's doing is because those characters became so valuable, as you could sell them on, so you're trying to boost the characters so you could sell them on to make his money back, and then you end up in like a spiral. And that's not necessarily the game's fault, but I just think it's just how they need to be done in a way that's non-manipulative. I'm also interviewing Sid Meier, the creator of Civilization, and he was saying that microtransactions and an over-emphasis on monetization was ruining creative decisions made by games companies, and then therefore
100%.
So look, it's there. I think we've got to be really thinking about how we play games and how we engage with microtransactions, because they're there and it's good that games is making money because it means they can make more cool stuff for us to play. But I think also just play with your eyes open. I think
it would be nice. It would be nice if they lock, especially with the live service games, if they shut them down. Give me a refund then.
Yeah.
Refund me everything. If you're shutting the game down, refund me.
All the money I've spent, I'll give it back to you. Thank you. Well, look, let us know what you think of microtransactions. Are you happy to spend, you know, in games? Do you give yourself a limit? How do you try and regulate how much you're spending in games? Have you got a good system? Because if you've got a good system of how you do it, then let us know, because we can talk about
it. Oh, yes, please.
Because we need to maybe together come up with a way of like, oh, this is a healthy way of spending in games. Let us know. You know what to do. Find us on social media, PressXPod on TikTok and PressXPodcast on Instagram. Right, it is now time for the PressX Biscuit Break, brought to you by Pickup. And before we start, Arnell, this week, I'd like to say congrats to everybody that's won some biscuits in our recent giveaway.
Hey!
We're going to do that again sometime soon. I loved seeing who was winning, and we drew it by random.
See the pictures in the Discord as well.
Yeah. And we snuck a little surprise. We stuck some stickers in there as well. Which people are almost loving the stickers more than they were the biscuits. But the biscuits have gone down a storm. but they've gone down a storm, and so we're going to be getting more people involved with more quizzes later on in the year for more biscuits. But for now, we're going to go back to our biscuit break suggestions this week. I know.
Indeed, recently we asked what is the easiest game to pick up and play, and on our TikTok, and loads of you replied for your biscuit break inspo. So we got quite a few of them right here.
Yeah. So Inkblot got in touch and he said any of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater remasters for him. No need to worry about where you are in a story. Timed levels means you can play for a few minutes to a few hours. Not a bad shout.
Nice. Matt says, I fear the answer may be Overwatch. It's putting it down. That's the damn problem.
Because that's a good shout, Matt, actually, because it's a game you can play for 10 minutes and leave it go. But you just got to be able to leave it go.
You got nowhere to quit.
Once you finish your biscuit, then put the controller down.
That's it.
Yeah. Hazard just says, Fall Guys! Exclamation mark. Good shout, Hazard.
That's it. We all know. Bluey Moga says, Balatro is a great entryway to games. It introduces ideas slowly and builds on pre-existing knowledge of poker hands. Lots of drag and drop possibilities makes it a good choice.
Yeah, you can play that with having a little biscuit break. It's very good. We know producer David certainly has done that because he loves it. Rick says Candy Crush, and that's why all the boomers play it to level 1 million. And you know what? We don't talk about it enough.
Candy Crush is amazing.
So good. And you can play it with your biscuit. So yeah, great show.
Steph, I've got one for you. Okay. I've got my own personal suggestion. Now, you remember Cuphead?
Yeah.
And you remember the fantastic art style it had?
Beautiful art style. Horrible game because it's so hard to play.
Yes. Do you also remember it had those flying levels where you were like, you're shooting various different crazy faces like the moon and things like that?
Yeah.
Well, there's a game on mobile called Acecraft, which has the art style of like Cuphead, has like bullet hell like gameplay like we've been speaking about, and it's free to play.
Is it?
Yeah, Acecraft. Check it out. I think you really like it.
Well, loads of good suggestions to consider there. And that was our PressX Biscuit Break, brought to you by Pickup. Now, it is time for a review this week, Arnell, and I've got something to review for you this week.
Listen, I've been looking forward to this. I've been hearing good things.
Yeah. And I've got good things to say. So, the game I'm reviewing is College Football 26. Now, if you don't know what college football is, it's an American football game that you can play on your PlayStation, your Xbox, and essentially... So without getting too into the weeds of the sort of backstory of this, Madden has been the American football game of choice for years and years. And that is a game that reflects the professional version of American football. So you're playing with your 32 NFL teams in Madden. But for years, in the 90s, the noughties, and all the way up to 2013, there was an alternative to Madden, which focused on college American football. So these are your big universities in America where... college football is a massive deal. Some of the stadiums will have 100,000 people go and watch the game. It's crazy.
Oh, and Steph, sometimes the college football games were better than the Madden games.
Well, in the early noughties, they were. People were obsessed with them. They played them just as much, if not more, than the Madden game because there's only 32 NFL teams. So obviously, if you don't live in a city with an NFL team, you may be not as emotionally connected with the team as you might be with your college because you've definitely got a college nearby. And so the game was existed up until 2013, and then it got into some sort of legal purgatory because back then you weren't allowed to be paid to play in college. You were a student, and so you weren't earning any money off it, and there were very strict rules about around that. And so to have a video game which had player likenesses and things like that sort of created problems. And so ultimately the game stopped in 2013. And then last year, after some changes behind the scenes to the rules, it allowed them to re-release a college football game. So College Football 2025 came out and people went crazy for it. Sports games fans went mad for it. You know, so much so that even a year later, it was still 50, 60 quid, full price, no discount. Okay, so it was going down really well. And so this one, it's College Football 26, and that's what I've been playing for the last couple of weeks.
Oy.
Now, what do I think? So I think this is definitely one for you sports games fans, although there are sort of some RPG character creation sort of elements in there that might interest people. So yeah, after a long time away, the gameplay come back. Now, let's just say that I'm focusing this on people that play a lot of sports games. The gameplay is subtly different from the Madden version of American football. So if you play Madden, if you like American football games, you've played a lot of Madden in the past, this plays slightly differently. I'm not going to say that it's an arcade game compared to a simulation, but it's definitely a bit looser. It's a bit more fun. It's a bit easier to pick up and play. It's a bit more reflective of the differences in the sport and real life, actually, in my opinion. Because college game, like Aina was saying earlier, you'll have massive scores or loads of touchdowns, you know, so it reflects that in the way it plays. I think the graphical updates in consoles these days are crazy, mate. I mean, I used to play the college game in the 90s. I played Madden in the 90s and the noughties. And compare the difference now is just wild. How immersive it is. The collision physics are really good. It's really realistic in that front, right? So, you know, you can really delve into it on that side. So it looks fantastic. But I think where the game is really good is that it creates an atmosphere that is so unique to each ground you play in. All of the teams are so different. All of their mascots are there, their cheerleaders, the stadiums look different. The music that they play at each ground is different. The way the players enter the field is different depending on each stadium. Because all these college teams have got sort of like old sort of traditions that date back decades, and the mascots come out first, or, you know, somebody has got to run on and put a flag in the middle of the field first. All those things that you do in real life are reflected, which means every game you play feels very different, which I think is unique compared to, like, if you play a lot of FIFA, or if you play a lot of Madden, or you play a lot of the, Top Spin, the tennis game. Basically, every match feels the same because the stadiums, massive stadiums, 100,000 people. They feel
you're skipping the intros at the beginning. You're pressing start, let's play.
Yeah. You're getting into it. Whereas here, I feel like I want to see what's Ohio State's intro? What are the Florida Gators doing different to the, Tulane Green Wave? You know, like, it's it's different. And I'm learning a lot here as well because I watched the documentary on Netflix. I don't follow, you know, full disclosure, I commentate on the NFL for the BBC, right? So I'm invested in American football. In fact, after this recording, I'm going to Dublin to go and watch some NFL that's been playing Dublin. So
which documentary is this? Was it, what, Last Chance U or?
Last Chance U, I loved all the Last Chance U's, and that reflects the lower tier of the sport, which I think is fascinating. But there's an SEC documentary, which is about one of the conferences that you can play as, which has got a lot of the famous, more successful teams in it. So I watched that recently. But I don't know much about college, so I've been learning about all these different teams, and they're so colourful. Like, they can have so much more fun, I think, with their logos and their colour schemes. Like, the pitch, not all the pitches are green. If you play Boise State, the pitch is blue. You know, I was playing against a team that I'd never heard of before. They were like a college football team. What were they? And their pitch was like this weird, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. Never heard of them before. But I played in their stadium and they've got like a weird different green to everybody else. And I was sort of, basically, I'm learning about college football and all these weird and wacky teams that are like really fun.
It sounds
fun.
Like there's the attention to detail is way more in depth than Madden.
Yeah, because there's so much of it. Because Madden is 32 and we know it all. We've seen it all before.
We've seen it for years, yeah.
But the Tulane Green Wave, right? Which I've written these down. Their logo is a wave. like with a little face, a smiley face. And it's like, that's just so silly and fun. And like, it reflects the nature of college football, I think, so well. And you've got a game that matches then, because it's easy to pick up and play. It's a bit more, it's a bit more fluid. Your characters do things slightly easier than Madden. So it sort of reflects that. And I've had a load of fun with it. Yeah. It's really fun to play, I think. And there are two features that I'm just going to go back to back on all the time. Road to Glory, where you take one character all the way through to the pros, and a Dynasty feature. They're nice and in depth. Now, there are some problems with it as well, but in terms of like my initial and overriding thoughts, is this is a really fun, detailed experience that I'm learning new stuff about college football that I didn't know before. The two-lane green wave. Let me show you. Can I...
You have to put it up on the screen.
I'm gonna forward you an image of it. They have become my new favorite football team off the back of this, right? Let me forward you.
I see it.
Look at that. How cool is that? Yeah. That's a sports logo, man.
It looks angry,
right? And I followed the NFL for 30 years. I'd never heard of the Tulane Green Wave before, right? And now I'm like Tulane Green Wave's biggest fan. But then also you've got like the East Carolina Pirates. They've got a banging logo. You've got the New Mexico State team. We've got a cow, like an outlaw as their guy. Like it's just like the characterization is really fun. The color is great. The pageantry is fun. Now, here are the problems with the game.
Oh, here we go.
It gets a bit like the music. Sports games, FIFA, Madden, famous for their soundtrack, because there's a lot of like loading screens and there's a lot of like, you know, Excel spreadsheets basically to work through.
Some downtime.
Right, some downtime between the action. Yeah. So you listen to the music a lot. The music gets a bit repetitive here. They've gone for college themes. So you've got like trumpets doing trumpet versions of Sabrina Carpenter. That's great the first time, the second time, the third. By the time you've heard it for the 24th time, you're like, oh my God, no. I thought that the modern I'm playing it on PS5. I thought our consoles now were supposed to eradicate loading times.
That was the promise.
I remember interviewing the boss of PlayStation at the time, Jim Ryan. No more loading times.
Yeah, he did. He said,
they said didn't they?
He was talking the talk.
That's
he
what said. They said. No loading times.
Mm.
Well, I tell you what, my friend, there are loading times. And there's a lot of downtime, and I'm like, okay, fine, but I thought we were past that. We're not. Turns out, I think if you played 25, which I've only played 10 hours of, to be fair, I played a lot more of this one. I think you don't need the new one, unless you're like a mega college football fan, which I don't know many people in the UK are. Maybe for our American listeners, I think you want to be up to date with the new.
I think you'd be surprised. I think it's definitely growing in terms of...
I mean, the NFL certainly
not necessarily... NFL. But like college football in general, I think is... I think thanks to like all the like Netflix documentaries that they've been doing, like a lot of people are kind of learning about it feeling a lot more intrigued and curious.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely curiosity. And what this does...
Way more than it was like 15 years ago.
And this does a brilliant job of like scratching that itch, because I'm just all of a sudden... You know, my player in the Road to Glory mode, where you take a player and you go through, and I really like the RPG elements of that. Actually, is really cool, the way you've got to spend points on, like, are you going to study this week? Are you going to boost your character? Are you going to do, and that sort of
sounds like Persona.
I know. And it's interesting. Honestly, God, I think it's really fun the way that they've done that. I was playing for the Delaware Blue Hens, and I really enjoyed, like, I didn't know anything about that team, so I learned a bit more. And so it's really got my, because I love the sport and I don't know much about this part of it, it's really lit a fire there that I wasn't expecting. And it is, the gameplay is fun to play, but a lot of the stuff around it gets a bit tedious, I think, is my takeaway.
I hear that. I know we don't give scores, but you were sounding like a 10 out of 10
Yeah, so I would give this a 7.5 out of 10. So I think, look, the Road to Glory features and the Dynasty features are good. The rest of it, meh. The gameplay is really good, and the sense of wonder it creates is really good.
Have you been playing online as well?
I haven't played online because I'm so into taking my character to the pros. I'm really into that. So it's a very unique experience.
Make sure they study, Stefan. Yeah. Come on.
Gotta get my grade point.
Remember why they're there.
Gotta get my grade point average up.
You're not gonna get that scholarship next year.
So look, if you're playing college football, or if you're interested, if you're a sports game lover, right, this is gonna set you back £70. Okay, so it's expensive. You can get it for 62.
It's more pricey than I thought.
Yeah, it's punchy pricey wise because it knows it's got a niche audience. I think it's 62 quid on Amazon. You can get 10 hours of access though if you've got an EA Play thing. And you can get the 25 version, which I think you might as well get if you're like intrigued but don't want to spend £70 if you've got the Game Pass with the EA Play add-on. So there are ways of playing this cheaper, just not this latest version. The Metacritic is saying it's 82, which is pretty good, but 79 from user reviews, which is sort of also with a 4.5 out of 10 generally unfavorable. But I think that's because people who've paid 25 wanted different 26.
It's the diehard fans, isn't it?
It's exactly that. Now, it's going to cost you £70, so it's pricey on a PS Store and the Xbox Store, £62 on Amazon. You can get 10-hour access, though, if you sign up for EA Play. Mm-hmm. So you can try it, and if you like it, then you can invest. And you can also get 25, the previous version, if you've got the Game Pass Ultimate, which has got EA Play attached to it. So that may be a better way if you've got that, and you fancy giving this a go if you're not sure. So look, let us know what you think. Are you playing it? You a sports head that wants to try something different? Then let us know. PressXPod on TikTok and then PressXPodcast on Instagram. I get involved in the Discord. Right, the big question from today's show, Einel, is this. Time for a bit of the show now where the producers have been... this is me explaining what it is. Where basically they clued behind our backs, our producers, and they come up with a big question. And they've been listening in all episode, and this is what they've come up with. Einel Tomlinson is the star quarterback of the Wolverine State college football team. Playing against Batman's Gotham University, led by legendary college coach Stefan Powell. What are the logos on the side of each team's helmet? Good question.
Oh, it's got to be me in a Wolverine cowl. It has to be. It has to be. I have to be Gurren.
I just want to. I want. This is clearly, obviously, the bat on the side of my one, and I really liked Ben Affleck's bat, even though I didn't like the movies. The Ben Affleck bat because he was a fatter bat.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, you don't want it in the Welsh colours as well.
I don't think it quite fits the team. as it loathes me to say it. Yeah, I don't think it quite fits.
It could.
Team. Maybe.
What do you mean it don't fit the frame? It could be the uniform colour. Could be green, red, and white.
With a big bat on it. Put the bat instead of the dragon. I don't know how it's going to work. Good thoughts. What do you think? What should our logos be? I could see a really cool Wolverine. I mean, of course, you've got the Michigan Wolverines, and they've got like these yellow... which I knew before because Tom Brady played for them, but I also know because of the team. They've got these yellow... claws coming off the top of their helmet. That's pretty cool.
Perfect. Yellow's my favourite colour.
So there we are then. Do you think? In fact, they're in Marvel, X-Men Wolverine's colours, blue and yellow. So, anyway, let us know what you think. Now, a reveal to this week's trivia question. It's a bit of a longer episode today, me and I. We haven't seen each other for a while. We've been catching up. So when a hoop of metal from an explosion rolls slowly across the screen at the end of a 2007 video game, developers wanted it to become a meme. That didn't become a meme. They wanted it to be called Hoopy the Hoop. But something else became a meme from that game. What was the game? What was the meme? I said BioShock. You said...
I'm going to go with Borderlands,
Borderlands.
Was the first one 2007?
We'll take your word for it.
It's either that or Halo.
So he's gone Borderlands or Halo, Halo 3. We're both wrong. She's not great for our scores. The cake is a lie. It is the end of Portal. And developers had hoped to create a name, a meme rather, of the hoop rolling through the frame. But instead, players focused on the cake. The Hoopy the Hoop makes several appearances in Portal 2, but everybody was focused instead on finding cake references. So we are both...
I'll be honest with you, I can't remember Hoopy the Hoop.
I can't remember Hoopy the Hoop. I can't remember the cake. Portal 2 was a great game. But we were both wrong, which means our percentages have dropped slightly. So we're at 25 and 26%. Maybe you got it right at home as a tough one. Good question, though. Thank you very much. So keep those questions coming in and we will guess more at the end of our next episode. Einel, it's been a joy to have you back.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's settled in like a hand into a glove.
Yeah, like he's never been away. And I will also reveal the mystery mug at the start of our next episode.
Yes, please.
Which will be coming in a week on Tuesday. Remember to get involved on the Discord. We're loving what we're seeing from the community there. Including special spreadsheets and all sorts.
Yeah.
The link is in the bit below. Find it there. And we will see you next Tuesday for more fun. Bye-bye.
Bye.